What changes could come in your life that would cause you to quit? I don't know about tomorrow or the next day or any other day, Brother Chuck. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know the details. I don't know if my life is going to be involved in tragedy even today. I don't know that. I don't know what phone calls I might get this evening of devastating news. I don't know. I really don't. But what changes could come in your life that would cause you to quit church, quit reading your Bible, turn against God, walk away? Amen. God help us that we would say nothing. By the grace of God, attach that to it. By the grace of God, nothing. Just like Job, everything come against him, but it didn't shake him. Concerning his faith and his confidence and his course. And I want to be found faithful in this hour. I don't want to be a quitter. Do you? I tell you, we're too close to the finish line if anything, we need to be turning the heat up. If anything, we need to be just getting another gear. Not gearing down, but gearing up. Amen. All right. All right, let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 7. If you missed Sunday school this morning, you missed a great blessing. Brother Mark is teaching on the all-important and all-inclusive subject of prayer. Not a person in this building that's exempt from the need of it, to receive it and or to do it. If you missed Sunday school this morning, you missed a great blessing. Your flesh won't like Sunday school, I can just tell you. Your flesh don't like it. But there's a difference between Sunday school and Monday school. Hey man, I despised and still do sitting in a classroom. Through the week school, but when it comes to Sunday school, I like it because of the subject. I like it because of the subject. Yeah, I don't like math, English, and 40 other subjects you could add to that. As far as like, I just don't like it. But I like the subject we have here at the church: spiritual things, Jesus, how to live for God and all those things. I like the textbook. I like the textbook we got. I like the teacher. The Holy Spirit will teach you, the Bible says. And so I like that. I like that. I tell you what, I like my fellow students. I like the fellow students. I like the classroom. Amen. Amen. That's good. But anyway, that don't have a thing to do with the message, but that's good anyway. All right, Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7. We're coming to the very end of one of the great passages of Scripture in the Bible, known as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus preaching himself, teaching himself, chapter 5, 6, and 7. And we're coming to the end of this sermon as almost to deal with the conclusion of this sermon. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 24. And the Bible says, and a very important word, therefore. Therefore. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, no doubt, In his mind, referring to chapter 5, 6, and 7 at that point. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him. That word liken is a word that talks about I will compare him. Here's an illustration of. But he said, and I will liken him unto a wise man. I believe just looking at that face value, God is saying it's wise to listen and live what God says. To be obedient, hear and do. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended. Now we don't like this verse. You mean, preacher, if I do the will of God and hear the word and do the word, you mean it's not going to exempt me from storms? No. The next verse, right on the hill of the wise man that built his house upon the rock. Here was the definition or the description. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. But I like these next few words, and you need to know them and stick it in the devil's face every chance you get. And it fail not. And it fail not. Why? The all important truth is coming out now. It fail not, for it was founded. I like that. It wasn't just near this foundation. It was founded upon a rock. See, being near the rock, being around the rock, is not a foundation. The rock is not your foundation unless it's underneath you. And of course, we know who the rock is through the scripture. Many times, especially with David's writings in Psalms, we find that he's oftentimes referring to God as his rock. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. But notice, it goes on to say, and everyone, verse 26, that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass that when Jesus was in... had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let's bow for a moment of prayer and ask the Lord to help us. I do ask that you pray for us, please, and with us. Father, we come in Jesus' name, Lord, to the precious throne of grace. And Lord, we're thankful today, Lord, that your mercy endures to all generations. We pray this morning that you'll take and help us for the next little bit to say that which will be a blessing. But Lord, I'm not just interested in being a blessing. I'm interested in being a benefit. Dear Lord, maybe a blessing might quickly be forgotten, but a benefit will affect us in days and weeks to come. I pray you'd help us now as we look at this all-important subject. And we'll give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm interested in looking at these men, one wise, one foolish, that built their house upon chosen foundations. One wise man chose to build his house upon a rock. The foolish man chose to build his house upon the sand. And this would typify in our setting today, in this being Valentine's weekend and so forth, about, I believe we can see some truth here about our homes. Now, what is it that's going to be the survival mode of our homes? I don't think that it's takes much preaching now to tell you that our homes are under attack. I think it's very evident in this scripture, saved or lost, wise or foolish, your home is under attack. The rains is going to come against it, and the winds is going to blow against it, and the floods going to come against it, and beat, that's the word used in the text, and beat upon that house. We better make sure that our house is, and not referring to the sticks and the two by fours and the shingles and the windows can stand it, but we better make sure the home that's inside the house, we better make sure the home can take a beating. Are you listening? We better make sure we can take a beating individually and as a home collectively. Because your home, because of the enemy of the home, because the enemy of the home, the devil himself, despises the home. The home is the first institution of God, and God's the one that built and made the first home. And the devil's first launched attack after being thrown out of heaven was against the home. He didn't attack the animal kingdom. He didn't attack, my friend, the trees. He didn't attack the fish of the sea or the fowls of the air. He attacked Adam and Eve and their home. Why? Because God put them together. And I believe the devil still has that agenda. I believe the devil still, Brother Gene, has that motive that if I can attack the home, I'm in reality attacking God. I believe the devil thinks that if I can destroy the home, I've made a big effort to hurt God. And don't you think that the devil doesn't have vengeance in his heart toward God? Amen. Ever since God throwed him out because of him trying to usurp authority and to take over, my friend, he thrown him out, the devil out, and my friend, thrown all the fallen angels out with him. I want to tell you, friend, the devil's been mad at God ever since. And he works in an effort. Everything he does, I believe, is backed by his heartbeat of, I want to get back at God. I believe every church trouble is backed by the devil in his effort to hurt God. Every person that gets out of church, I believe you can see the fingerprints of the devil working to get back at God, to hurt God, to hinder the cause of God. Every day the Bible goes unread. I believe that's the devil trying to get you in a state and a condition that he can use you to hurt God. Are you listening? We could preach on that line of thought all morning, but I'm interested in these men that built their house upon specific chosen foundations. And there's a lot to be said. And I want to say this statement. I want you to get it. That word therefore in verse 24. Therefore, I believe, is reaching back to everything that Jesus had said in 5, 6, and 7. Chapters 5, 6, and 7. Therefore. And I think it's interesting that Jesus comes to the closing of the greatest sermon probably ever preached, and he closes it with dealing with the home. And he attaches therefore to the home. As if to show us a couple of three or four things. One, Brother Bob, he's showing us by that every breakdown and breakup of every home probably can be found in chapters 5, 6, and 7. If you find a person, a man, a mom, a parents or a couple, mates, whatever that makes up the home, if you find them disobedient to what Jesus has taught, then God said that's a foolish person that's building their house on shaky and sinking and shifting foundations that will fall. But I believe he's showing us as well that those that would listen to what he said and live what he said and do what he said, that person's home, though encountering storms, would not fall. And I believe the desire of everybody here should be to have a home that will not fall. A home that can take a beating. A home that can go through a storm and come out on the other side with a testimony of the faithfulness of God. Amen. Oh yes. Oh yes, dear friend. And so I want to look at this, and we notice the survival of these homes wasn't dependent upon the structure. It wasn't dependent upon how careful the wise or the foolish man was careful to drive nails and you know the structure of it. No, that wasn't what the survival hinged on. The survival hinged on the foundation. If the Lord will help me this morning, and I'm going to go back into chapters 5, 6, and 7 and say some things on that thought that I've already dealt with. But I'm going to preach this morning on the spiritual, the key to survival. Because when he's talking about the foundation being upon the rock, he's talking about the spiritual. And we're going to show you that. We're going to show you that the success of your marriage and mine hinges not on a lot of things we think it does, but it hinges on and is built upon the spiritual. All right? You can have all these other components in your life, in your home and in your marriage, but if you get skimpy on the spiritual, your house cannot take the beating. It will fall. And you will be a statistic. Are you listening? Let me give you this right quick. In fact, I wrote this on an envelope. Amen. Praise God. Always have you something to write on. Amen. Always have you a pen ready. Always have your mind in gear where God can speak to you. I was telling my wife this morning how many people miss much truth and much spiritual food because they don't meditate on the Word of God. They don't have their mind in gear to listen. Well, let me give you this right here. When I made that word therefore, connecting all chapter 5, 6, and 7, and I mentioned that if the house falls, the marriage falls apart, you can find probably the fault of it in chapter 5, 6, and 7, where they failed, whether an individual failed, whether the couple failed to do what Jesus said. In fact, here's some of the categories that's taught about in this subject, and see if you can see a relationship to our homes. The first one is, and I don't want to make this the message, okay? I just want to give you these if I can. The first one I see in chapters 5, verse 23 through 26, verse 38 through 42, and also chapter 7 and verse 12, I notice you can write down the word conflict. Jesus takes the Sermon on the Mount and spends a lot of time on how to deal with conflict. Most homes do not crumble from without. Most homes, if not all homes that fall, do so from within. Say amen right there. Any husband would say, we've never argued, or any wife would say the same. I'd say, well, we'll let your mate testify the next service. Or let me talk to your children, amen? But there's conflict. Oh, how that conflict and how there is need for reconciliation and how there's a need of turning the other cheeks, amen, right there. How there's a need of when you come to the altar to pray and all of a sudden you're reminded that a brother, in our case, in the text that we're dealing with, that your mate or someone in your home's offended, leave your gift at the altar and go make that right. So it deals with conflict as an issue. A home survives on how you deal with conflict in the home. And these young people that's not married yet, I've preached and preached and will continue to preach. Amen. Die of old age or pass out one. I'm going to continue to preach, but I want to tell you, friend, that you cannot imagine what it's going to be like when two separate, independent, individual lives, different personalities, different backgrounds comes together in a marriage to make one. You will find conflict that you never thought existed. Amen. Somebody talked about they moved from one size house into another size house and larger. I said, at times you'll be surprised how small that one will get. Say amen right there. Well, I don't need to deal with that. But number two, he deals with the second thing that I noted, and I just write down the word craving. All these will start with C. Conflict, but also craving. Chapter 5, verse 27 through 32, he deals with lust and adultery, looking on another to lust after them. God said, if you do that, you have committed adultery in your heart, in your heart. And I thought, as I read that, Brother Brooks, I thought about how many marriages has went down the drain because of lust, because of wicked cravings. And I'm just going to tell you, and you know this is the truth, this world is geared with all of its magazines, movies, books, portraits, music, and everything to pump into you lust and wicked cravings for things that is forbidden. Say amen right there. And your flesh loves it. Your wicked flesh, your human depraved nature, your human nature, your Adamic nature loves sin. You'd be shocked how much sin is in the average church. You'd be surprised in this day of loose living how much fornication goes on in young people, even that go to church. Are you listening? Amen. And if we find out about it here, I promise you we will deal with your hide. Are you listening? You say, what was that for? That's hopefully to put the fear of God in you. Amen. That's right. I can be sweet, but if you put me in a corner to have to deal with your immorality and sin, I will deal with it. Are you listening? Amen. But how many homes have been destroyed by conflict? Constant fighting, falling out, and fussing. How many homes have been destroyed, my friend, because of cravings that are not right and pleasing, not pleasing to God? Sinful, wicked cravings. Here's your third one. You ready? I have to hunt for it. I didn't get them in order. There it is. Number three, you could add to that one out of that same section of Scripture, the word corruption. When sin enters in your home, the devil's got his foot in the door. Where sin is, the devil's been or is or will be. You can't separate sin and the devil, and where there's lust and adultery in heart and wicked cravings of the heart, and of course if there's wicked heart cravings, then there's wicked thoughts of the mind as well. Amen. And I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, many homes have went down the tubes because they went away from righteousness into an unrighteous direction. I will say this and say it very bold, very plain. The Holy Spirit has never busted up a marriage. I'm going to say it very clearly in case you didn't understand that righteousness has never destroyed a marriage. But sin has. You know what Proverbs 12:7 says? The Proverbs 12:7 says the house of the righteous shall stand. The house of the who? The righteous. Those that are given to righteousness, and if you want to know the real definition, practical definition, that is right living. Those that's making choices to live right. Amen. When you see sin trying to creep into your thoughts, trying to creep into your heart, trying to get in your plans, trying to get in your life, my friend, if you allow it, what you're doing is you're throwing the door of your home open to the enemies, the hounds of hell, to come in and wreak havoc to your home. Amen. Say amen right there. You think about what you go through, what we all go, the extent we go to protect our house. We've got locks on the doors. We've got locks on our windows. Amen. And we've got pistols and guns. Amen. Somebody said, you don't have faith if you got a gun. I've got faith that it will fire when I pull the trigger. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's gun control right there. Hold it steady until it fires. Amen. That's gun control. Amen. I'm not talking about being a John Wayne and going out and killing everybody. I'm talking about, friend, protection of your home and your family. Yeah. Amen. That's right. We have that responsibility, but I'll talk about that just for a second there. I didn't mean to use that because that's a whole other message. In fact, I thought it was going to be tonight, but evidently it's coming down now. But I mean, you look at what we do to protect our home. Look, we have smoke alarms. We have fire extinguishers. We have all kinds of things scattered through our house. Some even have alarm systems on their house. My friend that's hooked up with the police force, Brother Bob. And you know, and when that thing goes off, it calls 911, calls the police, calls, you know, whatever. And why? Because we're wanting to protect our family. And buddy, we need to do it in this day of hoodlums. I mean, growing up, it wasn't uncommon for us to sleep all night with the windows open, the door, just the screen door. I mean, didn't lock nothing, didn't worry about nothing. Are you listening? But we're in a day of drug heads and drunks. I'm telling you, people that's serving addictions, and they don't care who they have to step on. They don't care who they have to kill or what measures they have to go to get their addictions satisfied. Amen. But we'll protect our homes against burglars that'll come through the window or the door. But at the same time, we'll let sin come in through our heart. And sin has destroyed more homes than burglars have. Amen. Well, Lord, help me. I didn't mean to get on all that. Help us, Jesus. Lord's helping us, trying to. So there's corruption. Number four, here's another one, probably the chief one, and that is in chapter number chapter 5, verse 43 through 48, he talks about love. Oh, yeah. He's talking about loving your enemies. Say amen right there. Now, come on, don't look so sanctified, because there'll be at times when you're in a good ruckus at the house, you'll think that your wife or your husband is your enemy. You say, not me, preacher. Oh, yeah, well, listen how you're talking. I mean, you're not throwing that plate at your friend, are you? Surely not. Amen. I'm talking about charity. He deals with charity. How many homes have fell apart, went down the tubes because love, charity, not human love, but that divine spiritual love wasn't there. Amen. It's awful quiet, ain't it? That's all right. Sheep are quiet when they're eating. That's what I'm going to believe anyhow. Amen. So there is charity. Number five, this is good. Contributions. Jesus deals with alms given in chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Jesus goes on over in chapter 6, verse 19 through 24, and talks about how that man, if he's not careful, will become a servant to mammon, which is money. How many homes have went down the tubes because wrong use of money? Amen. Amen. Financial indebtedness will destroy a home. Where you have to work 10 jobs, have your dog and cat employed, have your children employed, all of trying to take care of 14 credit cards and 17 loans, and the next thing you know, you just kind of see your family as you say hi and bye, and they say hi and bye, and then all of a sudden there's trouble at the house. So contribution, the money issue. Amen. Say amen right there. You say, well, preacher, my ox is in the ditch. And God said, you know, if your ox is in the ditch on the Lord's day, you just have to get it out. But yeah, there's a difference of your ox getting in the ditch and you putting your ox in a ditch. Amen. That's what you're doing when amen. Come on now. So that's good. That's good preaching, preacher. Amen. So he deals with the money issue. Yeah, there's been women left husbands because he didn't make enough. I was looking to see where that one come from. Amen. I mean, seriously. There's men feel like they've got to work 20 jobs to take care of the financial pressure, as Brother Buster shared last night from the wife. Amen. Well, anyway, let me go on. I've got to hurry. I told you I didn't want to preach on these. I don't just want to give them to you. But these are some areas that either your house is going to be built on a rock on, By your hearing and doing them, or your house is going to be built on a shaky, faulty foundation that when the storm comes, it's going to collapse. Why? Because you didn't hear, you heard, but you didn't do. All right, let's go on. We've got several more. I got a whole envelope full of them. Amen. Praise God. That's good. Make good use of mail. That might even be a bill. Amen. I'm not sure. Number six. Here's another thing that God dealt with that I believe that they'll either help or hinder your house depending on whether you do it or not. And that is, just simply with the word see, calling upon God. Brother Mark's been teaching on prayer. Jesus, in chapter number six, verse 5 through 15, he's talking about prayer. He's talking about prayer and the model prayer. Then again, over in chapter 7, ask, and it shall be given you. You say, preacher, why are you dealing with these things? Because he plows through these things. He teaches these things. Then he comes to the end of his sermon and concludes it by saying, therefore, the one that will look at these things, live these things, that will be a wise person, and their house will be on a rock, and they'll survive the storm. That crowd that will listen but not learn, but will not live it, is that crowd that's foolish, and their house will fall. So I believe we're in context. I believe we're right here. So here's another thing he deals with, calling upon God. How many homes has fell apart because of prayer failure? When you get away from the Lord, and I can testify, I know, when you get cold in your heart, and you all can, I have, and you're gonna, one of the battles of the Christian life is keeping the fires burning. Spiritual fire in your heart burning. It's easy in this day, buddy, to get cold. Brother Buster brought it out last night, a classic illustration when he quoted that verse in Matthew where it said that, wickedness will abound. And at the same time he said, and the love of many will wax cold. He said, when wickedness increases, love decreases. Amen. And when wickedness comes in, I promise you there's not much praying going on. Amen. You can't pray. You won't have much of a desire or an interest of prayer if there's sin in your life. Amen right there. And so he talks about calling upon God. Oh, our homes would be much better if there was much more prayer going on. I like that. Here's another one, number seven. Here's another one, chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. You write down the word correction. Oh, see if this one don't destroy homes. In chapter 1 through 6, here's what he's dealing with. He's dealing with a crowd that's wanting to correct another one, but not wanting to be corrected themselves. Now tell me that hadn't destroyed some homes. He's dealing with a crowd that's trying to straighten out the other when that's got a mote in their eye, the other person, but while at the same time they've got a beam in theirs. Yeah, it's altar call time, ain't it? I thought last night, you know, Brother Buster did such a wonderful job skinning the husbands, and we needed it. I never rejected a thing he said, amen. I mean, the banquet last night was a great success, Brother Carroll. I mean, the food was wonderful, the fellowship was wonderful, the preaching was great, but it could have been a little better if he'd have got the women a little more, amen. No, I'm just kidding. Say amen right there, man, if you're not afraid to, amen. Yeah, amen, 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 preacher. Yeah, that's right. Amen, preacher. But that correction, I thought as he was preaching last night, tremendous, and he did get both sides. I thought last night, I wonder how many in this building really recognizes their own personal faults. We got clear 2020 vision when it comes to seeing the negative on the other person. I told my wife last night on the way to the banquet, I said, I'm thinking about asking a question. I thought about asking this question. How long would it take you to think of something funny that happened in your marriage? And then ask a second question. How long would it take you to think up something negative and bad? I guarantee you come up with a negative just like that. But the funny, something was kind of joyful, something was kind of a little jolly moment, you'd have to think, let's see, now let me think just a minute. What does that tell us? That's good preaching, amen. I know we're not swinging off the chandeliers, but we're trying to help our homes. Are you listening? To survive the storms that's a-coming. So there is correction is a fault. You know, trying to straighten out the other when you've got probably greater problems than they've got. Amen. Say amen. Well, we're having a time. Here's another one. Are you ready for another one? Amen. If I can read my writing here, here's you another one. That was chapter 7, verse 1 through 6. Here's chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. And that is, there is a confidence. Write down the word confidence. There was a confidence problem. Brother Mark dealt with some of this morning. Here's the gist of what's going on in this these verses. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and hit to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And look, it goes right into a man. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then being evil, or earthly, or fleshly, or carnal, human, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? You know what the gist of that is? Here, Jesus is dealing with a crowd that took care of their own children, but had a problem with confidence that the Father in heaven could take care of his. Woo! Interpretation of that was, oh me. Amen, that's right. He's talking about fathers that would go the extra mile to meet the needs of their children, but yet had a problem of doubting whether or not they could go to the Father in heaven and ask God, and God give it to them. In other words, doubt. Doubt and a lack of confidence in God will have an effect on your home. Here's you another one, number 9. I don't even have that one. I've got it wrote down, but don't have it numbered. Number 9, chapter 7, verse 13 through 23, you can write down the word conduct. Now, I know that's not ever destroyed any homes. Conduct. What he's dealing with in those verses, chapter 7, verse 13 through 23, he's talking about that crowd that talks a good talk, but does not walk in a good walk. Amen. Professing one thing, but practicing another. Well, if you don't think that'll destroy your home, amen. Look at the statistics. Look at the track record of hypocrisy and see how many homes have went down the tubes over it. Talk but not walk. Have a church lingo but get to the house and it changes. Have a church conduct but then it's a whole different work conduct and a church conduct, but then there's a whole different home conduct, and that is hypocrisy. And I'm telling you, the people that suffer for that are the children. So there's conduct. He deals with conduct. And then the last one in the text we read and attempting to preach from, chapter 7, verse 24 through 29, you know what he's dealing with here? I just wrote down the word commencement. Commencing. He's talking about people that didn't start right. They're making all endeavors to try to build a house, but they failed in the first point. They did not, or one of them didn't, the foolish, didn't take the measures of really, really looking how important the foundation is. Amen. You young people that's not married yet, you need to make sure of the foundation. And I've told people many times and preached it as well. If your courtship time, or whatever you want to title it, courtship, dating, whatever, if that area and phase of your life is not spiritual, do you think when you say I do and we did and we will and all of that, you think that you're just going to all of a sudden go, voila, and develop into this spiritual woman and spiritual man? Negative. Amen. I wasn't aiming to deal with this, but I wrote down a few other little notes here on that about the foundation in relation to courtship. When you choose your foundation, you're choosing your future home. Because your future home is going to be built on your foundation. And let me deal with something right here. Let me deal with this right here. Your courtship. Your courtship or dating, whatever what term you want to use on that, is not a soul-winning adventure. The Lord gave that to me sitting in my study this morning, that dating is not ever meant in Scripture to be a witnessing, soul-winning endeavor. Some other term, I believe Brother Matt commented on it, that some people calls it missionary dating. They're lost, I'm saved, but I'm going to date them and try to win them to Jesus. You will not find that in the Scripture. Amen. Amen. In fact, for any verse that you could even think might even reference that, I'd probably find 15 that would say the contrary. Right. Amen. Amen. You don't date people to win them to Jesus. You date people because they've already got a testimony that they're born again and they're saved and they love God. Amen. Say amen right there. That's exactly right. Amen. I mean, listen, you don't go off of just the fact that they say they're saved. You better go off of their life. And here's what's going to happen, and I preached it. You young people, you might as well get used to it. Amen. I'm going to preach to you. As the Lord leads my heart, I'm going to preach to you. Because I want your home to be one that will glorify the Lord, magnify the Lord, and honor the Lord, and endure years. Brother Styler and them fixing to come up on 50 years of marriage. Oh, I'd love to see some of these young people here have marriages that will just go and go and go like a Duracell. Just keep on going. Just keep on ticking. Amen. Just like a Timex. Just takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Amen. That's what you should want. But I promise you, you're gambling with misery to flirt around with somebody that has no heart for God, have no desire. I'm talking about starting right. You start on the foundation. If your foundation and beginning is not right, don't expect it to get much better. Because the house fell for the foolish person, not because of the structure, but because of the foundation. They didn't start right. They didn't start right. Well, I'll win him, preacher. I'll win him. Here's what you're going to do. I might as well preach. I've not got that bunch of worms open right there. Here's what will happen. Here's what will happen. You young people better listen to this preacher. Here's what will happen. If you're living your life carnally, fleshly, not spiritual, and somebody falls in love with you, guess what they fell in love with? They fell in love with your flesh. They fell in love with your fallen, sinful life. They didn't fall in love with the spiritual and the holy. They fell in love with the corrupt and the low life. Amen? Let me ask you something. How could a saved person fall in love with a lost person? You tell me how that can happen. If the saved person is what they're supposed to be. There's no fellowship between light and darkness. What fellowship hath the temple of idols With the temple of God. I mean, what? Hey, there's no fellowship. If you are a saved person, or at least professing to be saved, and you fall in love with a person that there's absolutely no evidence of them being saved, guess what that's saying? That's telling me, that doesn't say nothing about the lost person. They're just lost. That's telling me that you, as a saved person, are living a very sorry, low spiritual life. Because if you was what you're supposed to be, the saved the lost person would they wouldn't mind probably being friends at a distance, but they wouldn't want to be wouldn't have no intimacy and wouldn't be close to you, especially in considering marriage. Are you listening? I'm talking about starting right. He's talking about homes that fell apart because they crumbled on the foundation. They got cheap on the foundation, if you will. They thought the structure was going to be the thing. Well, preacher, we're going to have a great marriage. We're going to do this and this and this. Where's the foundation? What is your foundation? What's the foundation of your home? Is it carnal or is it spiritual? Is it sand or is it a rock? Amen? So you young people need to start right. Start right. Amen? You say, but preacher, I'll be an old maid or I'll be an old bachelor. It's better to be alone than in bad company. It's better to not have one and wish you had one than to have one and wish you didn't have it. Have them. Amen. Because once you say, I do, you've done it. It's not like going to the clothing store and trying on socks and clothes. If you don't like it, hang it back on the shelf. It's not like that. I know Hollywood presents that pattern of the home, but they're not the one that writes the scripture and sets the standard. God is the one that sets the standard for the home. Amen. I mean, buddy, when the storms come against your home and your marriage, brother, you need to make sure you've got a spiritual foundation under you, because that's going to be the thing that causes you to survive. Not a home in here wouldn't have already been washed up and down the tubes if it hadn't have been from some spirituality in home. Amen. Lord, help us. Amen. That's right. Well, I don't know how much more we can handle that. Amen. I mean, I wonder. I'm just going to ask you young people. I'm still on you a minute. Or how many of you young people really? Now listen to the preacher now. Listen. I wonder how many of you young people, young girls, young boys alike, are really interested in a spiritual foundation in a person you're looking at. Does it really matter to you what convictions they have concerning church and the Bible? That's right. I mean, how important is it? I've already told some, and I'll just go ahead and say it again. If you marry somebody or attempt to marry somebody that's not lining up with Scripture, don't expect me to have nothing to do with it. I've done told them. I'm talking about of this church. I have nothing to do with it. I'm against it. I will have nothing to do with it. Amen. And I will not compromise on that. I will not stand up and use the authority God and the state has placed on me to marry people and marry people I know is going contrary to the Word of God. I'm not going to do it. Because the battles, the storms is going to fight you. There's going to be winds going to blow against your marriage. There's going to be floods going to come against your marriage, friend. And the thing in this Bible that shows in our text what is going to be the survival key is your relationship to whether you're hearing and heeding what Jesus said. Don't go off of what they claim. Don't go off of what they claim. They could claim anything. They might stand up one day and claim they're Superman, but would you believe them? Or they're Wonder Woman. Would you believe them? You can't go off of what they claim. Go off of their conduct. Because if they don't have enough spirituality to get in their shoes and to help them walk it, my friend, then they don't have much. Say amen right there. That ought to help us. That ought to help us, amen. You start. Listen, I'm talking about, I wasn't aiming to preach on all that. Lord knows my heart. This crowd he's dealing with here is the crowd didn't start right. The wise did, but the foolish didn't. Didn't start right. You start your relationship out being physical, and I promise you, you'll find out that is sinking sands when the storm comes. Amen. Lord knows my heart. I wasn't aiming to bog in right here and preach to these that are not married yet, but the Lord's just helping me. Are you listening? Amen. 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 I'll say my own amen. Yes, sir. You can't start your relationship out as a physical relationship, and that is a big subject. When I'm talking physical relationship, I could be talking about looks. Well, I want him, preacher. Look at him. Yeah, but let me tell you what's going to happen to that look at him thing in about 30 years. Huh? Yeah, there's going to be things developed that you never thought was there. There's going to things be disappearing that you never thought was going to disappear. And that hunk may turn into something else, amen? And then what are you going to do? That is a faulty, crumbling foundation to start your relationship on. Amen. This Valentine's Day, I'm preaching. You started out in the physical, not just in looks, but so-called love. Huh? That love probably could be, have a better word used for it. It's probably called lust. It's probably called lust instead of love, amen? And you start your relationship out on that, it's going to be downhill. It's going to be downhill. Amen. Come on, girls. You should never let a boy touch you. Amen. Boy touch you, don't love you. Boy touch you, and I'm talking about inappropriately touching you. Paul says it's better for a man not to touch a woman. Man stirred by that. I tell you this, and now we're done in it, we might as well dig it out. Amen. You cannot, as a human being, as a man, saved or not, you can't be touching a woman and keep a pure mind. I don't care who you are. That's right, amen. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't hug around on the opposite sex, unmarried, and keep a pure mind. You can't do it. You can't do it. You're not the first one. There's nobody going to be the first one. That's right. You're created to be stirred by those kinds of things. Well, preacher, we're just going to hold hands and we're just going to hug occasionally and we're just going to... You think I fell off the last load of pumpkins that come through town? I've not always been saved. I got saved at 20, and I'm telling you, I know. And I especially know how a boy operates. But he tells me all the time, preacher, he loves me, and you believe it. He may have feelings for you, but unless he is a born-again, spirit-filled, Jesus-loving, sin-hating boy, he's got other motives in mind, and he's abiding his time. A boy that's not spirit-filled with the Holy Ghost trying to get you young girls by yourself is wicked. He's not trying to get you by yourself to pray with you. You say, preacher, you're getting off color. Don't even start that. You watch a lot worse than that on television. Amen. And I'm in the context of Scripture. Amen. I'm in the context of Scripture, amen. You say, preacher, I can handle it. You're the first human being. And you may handle it for a time or two, but your flesh will get weak and your flesh will get weary and you'll turn against parental raising. You'll turn against convictions of the church. You'll turn against the Bible principles and you will give yourself to the flesh. Amen. Well, glory. So how many of you are really looking for a spiritual foundation in a person? To build on anything else is sinking sand. Hallelujah. It's crucial to start right. Well, I've preached my whole time on that. I said I wasn't going to, but I did. But I don't think it's in vain. I don't think it's in vain to preach to these young girls and these young boys. And I know. I know when I preach like I do, especially in the last few minutes, to the young girls and the young boys about this. And by the way, that goes both ways. That goes both ways. A girl that tries to get a boy by herself and alone and all his secrets and stuff and all his touchy stuff. Hey, they're wicked too. That's right. When I was growing up, and that's not been too many years ago, if a girl called a boy, she had a bad name. But it's the girls on the hunt now. Lord help us. Lord help us. Still sin. Still God intends for you to go to the marriage altar pure. I'll preach that. That's the word of God. God intends on it. God intends on it. It's His will. It's His will.
Amen.
Well, glory to God. How do we get on all that? I don't feel bad about it. I don't feel bad about it. I preach the truth. Amen. You better not hinge your relationship on Cupid, because you'll wind up being stupid. You better hinge your relationship on the Scriptures. You better find somebody that's got some fingerprints of God in their life and the power of God, and they treasure the touch of God on them and have the anointing of God on their life. You better find somebody like that. You say, preacher, there's not any. I heard Brother Andy Wells saying he runs a very successful, I think, youth camp. And he told me, he said, preacher, he said, these boys are a bunch of knuckleheads. That's what he called them. He said if these boys would live right and do right and have a relationship with God and fellowship with God, they could have the pick. Because there's a bunch of girls that's got a heart for God. Amen? But no, they don't want one that's holy and full of God. They're trying to find somebody that'll cater their flesh. And you know that's right. Amen? I love you, or I wouldn't be preaching this way. Amen. I care about your future. Amen. I don't want you to be a statistic. I want you to have a successful marriage. I want you to be able to marry, start it out right. And listen, friend, let me just help dig it on out right here. And I could give you names. I mean names of Christians that married supposedly other Christians. And after the marriage, found out that the other one was a sorry, no-count, sin-loving heathen. And and one of them got in mind, and there she was. Her life is wrecked and ruined because of a sorry, no-count boy that come out of a preacher's home. I don't care who their parents are. I don't care what church they go to. You better see them enough. And you better be around them enough till you start seeing the Holy Ghost in their life. Because if all you see, come on now, I'm still preaching good. If all you see is morality, that might be something the parents has instilled in them. Not their conviction, But just some morals that they, you know, while mom, I'm at the house and mom and daddy's around, I don't do this way and don't act this way. But as soon as they say I do and they will and they get out of their, out of mama's house and get in their own house, then they turn into a heathen. I've heard stories, horror stories, Brother Chuck, where they get married. I'm talking about marrying somebody in church, get married, and all of a sudden, I mean, just like that, just like the snap of your finger, they quit going to church. The one that they thought, man, I'm marrying a good one and a godly one, and man, we're going to serve God together, and all of a sudden, they're heathens.
Amen.
You ought to be, I think I can say this right, you young people, you ought to be very scared of the marriage altar.
Amen.
Because there is a risk. Of course, I mean, there's always a risk. There's a danger of getting somebody that'll ruin your life.
Amen.
That's why you need to, I tell you, you need to have the leadership of God. Hey, I want to tell you, I just might as well dig it out. Amen. Lord, help me, Jesus. If you're in a courtship, or dating, whatever term you want to use it, and you never feel God in your relationship, you better run. If God never visits your conversation, and you and that person feels a touch of God, and tears run down your face because there's the heartwarming touch of God in your conversation, if you never feel God in your courtship, in your relationship, what makes you think you're going to feel God afterwards? Now that's good preaching. I don't know if I've ever preached that. That ought to help you right there. Well, amen. We got hung up on the young people. But you ought to build your house on the rock. Build your house on the rock. See that building a house on the sand from over in Palestine, Jerusalem, building a house on the sand, they built their house down next to Jordan. Down on the water levels of Jordan. Things look good in a good weather. But they tell me from reading about it, they tell me that a torrential rain could come just about the snap of your finger and Jordan would overflow its banks. But they said them rock, the house on the rock was elevated ground. Don't ever expect to live a high life on a low level. Don't ever expect to build your house on the sands where it looks good in good weather, the low level, instead of the high level, and expect to live a high life. Amen, amen. Let's all stand to our feet. The spiritual is the key to survival in your home. Hearing the word and doing it. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for speaking to our heart. I know this morning service was and still is very needful. Lord, every parent here ought to say, preach, preacher. Preach to my daughter. Preach to my son. Preach to this generation. Hollywood will warp their idea of what marriage is supposed to be. The world has no real definition of what marriage is supposed to be. But the scriptures holds the truth and holds the key. And Jesus, you spoke it. That individual that builds their house upon the rock, that individual that takes heed to my word and does it will be a wise person that has built their house upon a rock and will stand when the storms come. Lord, there's homes in our church being bombarded with attacks and winds and floods, but I pray you'll show them, Lord, the way to deal with that is spiritual, not carnal. We deal with that through the spiritual realm and not the carnal realm. getting back into the Word of God, staying faithful to the things of God, the house of God, the Word of God. Trying our best to be right with the Lord.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.